This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves. Dial in toll-free and bring up anything you want. 1-855-453. That is 855-450-3733. And joining you this evening, it's Ian.
Jason.
And Luther.
All right, so we will, of course, take your calls about absolutely anything. And apologies to anybody that's trying to get on our website right now. It's not working. But when it does, there's really some really great features there. But hey, what do you want for free, right? We don't charge you for the website, so you know if it's down for a little bit, you don't get a refund.
You get what you pay for.
Yeah, but you know what? When it is there, you can actually create the content. You can submit news stories or blog posts or videos, whatever you see online that you think's neat, you think our listeners might like. You can submit it to the website, and then others can vote as to whether or not they like or dislike your suggestion. Over at freetalklive.com, and you get to vote on things there as well. So do head on over, get interactive, freetalklive.com, and be patient. We will get it back up one of these minutes or hours or however long this will take. So we'll take your calls about absolutely anything. You can take control of these airwaves. That's the point of the program. We've been talking about the Occupy events, but that's not all that there is in the news. In fact, Luther, I know that you wanted to talk about cars, right? Some sort of news about driving.
Sure. This happened in England, and I couldn't find the exact article about the town I'm thinking of. It was in right outside of Bristol in Portishead, England, but London is considering this as well, of just turning off their traffic lights to prevent traffic congestion.
Turning off traffic lights is going to prevent traffic congestion?
I know, it sounds weird, and I watched a video about the one in Portishead, and or Portishead, I don't know if they pronounce it that way. Anyway, so, and they interviewed the same woman like the day before that they turned off the lights, and then the day after, and she was so surprised by the results that instantly, like, all the traffic cues just, you know, were gone, and people were just making decisions for themselves and stopping for pedestrians where before they wouldn't, because they would just kind of go on automation based on what the lights were telling them to do.
So I have to admit that, you know, when you first hear about this, having been raised in this culture where traffic lights are the way, the norm, that's what we know,
sure.
It's hard to envision what it would be like. But I remember I saw a video, and you said it was Vietnam. I'm not sure where. Some sort of Asian
country. It might have been Vietnam. I've seen a place like this in Vietnam, but go on.
Where they show you, it's like a sped up kind of time-lapse video where you see an intersection in a relatively busy intersection, that there's no traffic light whatsoever. And it's very interesting to just watch how the cars kind of jockey and they move and they just have this, like birds flying in a flock, there's this natural order that kind of comes out of the chaos.
Sure. Or Stossel's example of people in an ice rink.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly right.
Yeah.
Obviously, in an ice rink, things aren't quite as risky as driving a, you know, 2-ton hurtling death trap. But it's still, even though you can see in that video how exactly it works, it's still hard to imagine myself in that situation. You know, being on, like, where you got a road where there's maybe one road that's fairly heavy with traffic and another road that is medium with traffic, you know, it almost feels like, if it's heavy, how the hell are those guys on that other road going to get out there? And in the video that I saw, it looked like that, like, as soon as there was an opening, someone would just go for it, and then everybody else would just slow down and stop and wait for them. And
sure.
Then as soon as those people would go through, the other people would keep going. I mean, it was completely organic and mind-blowing at the same time.
Sure.
I've driven in Mexico City and Bangkok, and you're not going to see lights and stop signs there. And you think it's chaotic, but you just... follow and, you know, do what you're comfortable with, and it all seems to work out. It can be hair-raising sometimes, but, you know, a lot of people think that you need the state, to provide order and to prevent chaos, but it's great to see that it's actually working. I keep hearing more and more reports of you remove these
obstacles. I do have an article right here from cars.com about London is considering doing this, and London is infamous for being one of the worst cities to drive in. This show I like from England called Top Gear, it's one of the highest rated shows in the world. They did an experiment where they had a boat, a car, somebody on a bicycle, and somebody taking public transportation race from point A to point B. And public transportation actually went out, then the bicycle, then public transportation, then the boat, then the car.
Wow.
So, and they're considering taking out these lights. So,
So all of the lights in the city of London.
Well, let's find out.
All right.
The city of London is about to embark on an experiment. It will try to ease congestion issues by turning off traffic lights and letting drivers fend for themselves. The Westminster City Council, in conjunction with the organization Transport for London, will shut off the traffic lights at Westminster intersection for a two-week period. Oops, sorry. It will use closed-circuit cameras and license plate recognition technology to monitor the response of traffic. So apparently it's just going to be this one busy intersection for now. Who knows? Maybe they'll expand it from here. Sure, it sounds nuts, but towns in Holland, Denmark, and Belgium all have had what they call naked streets for years now. The idea is that when you remove the crutch of traffic signals, drivers tend to be more alert, courteous, and safe in their maneuvers. And I would totally agree with this, because your survival now is not dependent on some machine telling you stop, go, slow down,
right?
Or yellow kind of means speed up in our culture, but now you have to make these decisions for yourself, and your survival depends upon it. So you are going to be more motivated, I feel, to want to survive, you know, and to rely on yourself in this situation.
That's human nature. I mean,
sure.
People want to keep going.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're all born with this this gene that is the self-preservation gene, I call it, and that's why I think that when, like, Fred Parcells was here telling you, well, if
the
people don't...
Code enforcer.
Yeah, the code enforcer. If people don't upkeep their porches, you could go onto a rickety porch and die. Which is ridiculous. If you came to a rickety bridge over to high cliffs with alligators down at the bottom, you know, would you get on it or would you just kind of walk to the next safer bridge?
Depends on if I'm being chased by the native population.
Sure,
how angry
sure.
They were. But yeah,
sure.
Well, this is a good step because, I mean, we've all sat behind red lights for, you know, for minutes and there's nobody else there. But
oh,
if you run it, then law enforcement can try to extort money from you. So
I've made a habit since moving to New Hampshire of running through those red lights.
When it's late at night and no one's around?
I will ascertain. I'll slow down and I'll ascertain or stop briefly.
Yeah, make sure it's safe.
Make
first.
Sure it's safe. And then I'll go through.
Yeah, I would have no problem if people did that. I mean, as long as there's nobody around and you're being safe. But a lot of times people could, blow through the... Like, I was in Florida one time, and this cop had his lights on. And so I stopped at this light, and so he pulled me over because I was, like, stopping him. And I'm like, don't you have an emergency that you need to get to? Why are you stopping to harass me? And he's like, oh, it can wait. But still, he's, like, speeding anyway, and he has his lights on just so he could harass me.
Wow. Well, it points out here the town of Drachten, Holland, which is the town I heard about years ago that did this, saw accidents at one intersection fall from 36 over a four-year period to just two in 2 years since the lights
were removed. Incredible.
Wow, yeah. And this reminds me also of Montana, which used to have no speed limits on their highways. And when they repealed that and put in speed limits and they saw the number of fatalities by car accident, speed-related, not change at all. They didn't go up. They didn't go down, which I think is really interesting. It kind of brings up the idea of speed limits kind of being obsolete.
But what did go up is the revenue.
Oh, sure. That's exactly what they're about.
That's all the speed limit is good for is just revenue.
Oh, it's a great way to get revenue because people won't always constantly pay attention to their speed, especially if they have to travel long distances. I used to do this when I drove for a living. And what you'll do is you'll drive how you feel comfortable driving.
Yeah, I love all this news about the traffic devices. It's not just stoplights in some cases. I remember when we first started talking about this, it was that Holland town, I think, that had experimented with, like, taking out barriers around a cliff or something like that. Like, you know, just all kinds of things, just because people would be less likely to lose control of their car if they were being very, very cautious about going around that cliff's edge.
Sure.
You know, if there's a barrier up there, you'll feel like, well, I could just take this at 50 miles an hour rather than 30 or whatever would be the appropriate speed for that because you would count on the barrier to make up for any mistakes. I mean, you aren't expecting to make a mistake, but somewhere in the subconscious, you're counting on those safety devices to keep
happen.
You safe.
Sure.
And they won't. If you're going fast enough, they won't do a damn thing. They'll break right away, and you'll be over the edge. 1-855-450-FREE. So I'm looking forward to hearing the news about this London situation as far as how that goes, because if it's anything like the other ones, it'll be a stunning success. 855-450-FREE. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Bring up anything. It's Free Talk Live.
have this dizzy feeling every time I get out of bed, like spinning. I don't know why. It's awful.
I get dizzy when I read or work on the computer.
I get lightheaded walking down a hall or aisle.
Or unsteady on my feet.
I lose my balance and get a little motion sick.
It's like vertigo. That dizzy feeling in a car, train, or airplane.
It's awful. An inner ear problem.
Most likely your vestibular system.
Now there's Zyvestra.
An amazing, fast-acting
dual-action tabs and targeted cream you rub behind your ear.
Behind your ear.
And it works in an advanced homeopathic way to relieve dizziness.
It relieves that vertigo feeling.
That dizzy feeling, gone.
Zyvestra is amazing.
No more suffering from dizziness and queasiness.
Wake up with better balance.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Zyvestra. Call 1-800-304-1684. 800-304-1684. Stop the dizziness. Call 800-304-1684. That's 800-304-1684.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Do you live where ice storms, blizzards, tornadoes, floods, earthquakes, or hurricanes occur? Who doesn't? Well, most of us do, and when they occur, one of the first things to happen is the power goes out. When Hurricane Irene hit, over 5 million homes were without power. Just having light around the house becomes very important. Arm yourself with the new 50-hour emergency candle in a can. Just pull the pop-top lid. The matches are safe inside and light up the candle for 50 hours of continuous light. The candle and matches are together when you need them the most. Emergency light that has an indefinite shelf life, always ready and won't go dead like batteries. 50-hour emergency candles are $7.95 each or four for $28. Call toll-free 1-855-485-8555, 855-485-8555, or order online at candlesincans.com. One more time, that's 855-485-8555, or visit us at candlesincans.com.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live. The toll-free number for you is 855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-3733. You can join us on our website when it's working at freetalklive.com. And apparently for some people it's working, and for some people it's not. We've got four different internet connections right now between the mobile devices we have here in the studio and the other internet connections that we have, and on some connections it's working and on some it's not, so do bear with us if you're trying to get in there. When you do get in, you'll be able to access years worth of archives going all the way back to 2006, all free for the taking over at freetalklive.com. ZyVestra.com. As we continue, we'll take your calls about absolutely anything. Plus, you need to know about the Liberty Forum. It's coming back 2012. It's going to be February 23rd through the 26th. It's a Thursday through a Sunday. And if you've ever been before to the Liberty Forum, I don't have to sell you on it. It's something you'd want to come back to because it's such a great time to be together with other like-minded, liberty-oriented people in the same place. In this case, it's a hotel, kind of like a convention-style atmosphere. It's not as stuffy as your average convention, though. I mean, this is the kind of convention where there's people playing, you know, like there's a drum circle in the lobby one evening.
And I think my jazz band is going to try to play this
really?
Year in the lobby, so we'll see.
Yeah, so there's it's not your typical convention. It's a convention full of liberty-minded people, and that means that there's a lot of fun that you'll have if you attend this event. And families, I think, come out to this as well. Certainly couples do, and single folks. There's all kinds of different people to meet, people who already made the move to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project, which, of course, is a movement of liberty-oriented people like us.
Yep.
It's the reason why we're here, coming to New Hampshire, getting active to achieve liberty in our lifetime. And the Liberty Forum is basically a showcase of some of the activism that happens in New Hampshire. You get to meet some of the people that are already here, meet some of the people that are coming here, and also meet some celebrities within the liberty movement, for lack of a better term. Some of the more, I guess, known people.
I don't really like that term a lot either. I don't either. Yeah.
But people with name recognition, you know, like Stefan Molyneux has spoken in the past, and he's fairly popular with his Freedom Main Radio podcast. So you can go to freestateproject.org/libertyforum, and you can get signed up now. The early registration is open now, and the reason why you get a discount for early registering is because all the speakers haven't been announced yet. All the details haven't been finalized, so you're essentially jumping in as early as possible to support the event, and so therefore you get a discount. So you get the early bird discount now, plus you'll get 10% off additionally if you use the code FTL2012. That's all one run together as one word, FTL, like Free Talk Live, FTL2012, for 10% off the 2012 Liberty Forum at freestateproject.org/libertyforum.
And the Liberty Forum 2012 will be my 2-year anniversary here in the Shire.
Wow, that's great.
Because we traveled from California. There's about 8 of us that traveled all the way from California to New Hampshire just in time for Liberty Forum as part of the Liberty Caravan.
So it's been a good 2 years then, huh?
I've enjoyed it very much. I love living here.
How long has it been for you now, Luther?
Well, that's kind of hard to gauge because I've moved out of state twice, but I've been in New England for 3 years, over 3 years now.
Up from Florida?
Yep.
Actually, we're all up from Florida.
Yeah, we're all from Florida.
All right, let's continue here. Eddie Free is from D.C., and he's planning a move to New Hampshire, as I understand it. Eddie Free, what's on your mind tonight?
You bet I am, and I want to say congratulations. I'm glad that you're a little freer now, Ian. I'm glad you're out.
Yeah, it's good to be out of jail. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Well, you know, I wanted to encourage the listeners to get involved in the Occupy, this Occupy movement. I know the majority of the people are socialist. I've been working with Adam Kokesh here in the D.C. area. I'm sure you guys have seen some of the videos. And, you know, they can be fairly unpleasant and aggressive at times, but if you just keep your cool and you expose the violence that is the state and taxation, and just show them how the majority of them are supporting is violence against their neighbor. And I just want to tell folks to be patient with them, and that it's important for us to be out there doing outreach.
I think that's a great point, Eddie. And I also think that it's important to stress the voluntary alternatives. Like we're seeing in New York City and Washington, D.C., I've seen the videos that you and Adam Kokesh have been making. And, you know, they're building communities. They're setting up tents and, you know, they're feeding people. They're all working together to provide basic services. And so let's grow that. It seems like agorism to me, the open marketplace. Is that your experience?
It's really interesting. I mean, they're almost working in a voluntarist manner. You know, they're actually not voting. They're doing, I guess, a consensus in which, you know, for everyone to agree upon. But, yeah, they're almost working in a voluntarist manner. So it's really interesting. I've had a lot of fun down there meeting these people and just opening up dialogue with them and just and actually giving them a fresh perspective.
I think that's exactly the purpose of liberty-minded people being there. I mean, if we were to say to ourselves, well, we're not going to associate with these people because they don't agree with us on absolutely everything, we'd be cutting our own throat.
I've heard a lot of the more of the Republican types, you know, they're attacking them and calling them scumbags and all of this. And, you know, that's not the way to approach it. You know, just go there, folks, be friendly, smile, be calm, and just point out the violence that's in the system. Because the people, you know, people are good. The majority of people have good hearts, good souls. And they don't want to commit violence against their neighbors. So that's what I'm saying. You know, let's just kind of try to point out the violence that is taxation in this state. And that's about it that I had for you guys. Luther, I hope that you let me sing with you guys at the Liberty Forum.
Oh, of course, man. I'd love to have you come up here. But
if you like to sing,
you
got to
move, and then we can start a band.
Let's do it. I'm down for that.
What's your ETA up here in New Hampshire, Eddie Free?
It's going to be after the winter time, so I'm thinking I'll be ready by April. I've heard a few horror stories about going up there unprepared. So, you know, I don't want to go up there and sponge off of anyone, so I'm going to be financially stable enough to be up there, and that will be March, April.
Smart move. I think that's a great idea, yeah. And I made a similar mistake, sort of. I didn't have too much of a plan. I ended up, you know, just knowing enough people up here that I got a job out of state. But, you know, move here once. Don't move here thrice like I did.
All right,
Eddie.
Guys.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate the update, and feel free to clue us in as more develops there in D.C. with the Occupy movement, and wherever you are as well, at 1-855-450-FREE. That's the toll-free number. And, you know, an important, I think, communications tactic when you're talking to anybody who might disagree on some level, whether they be socialist or fascist or whatever their position, is to agree with them on something. Find something with which you can agree. And
sure.
don't
work
focus
from there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, so if they're saying, well, you know, I want the corporations to not have so much power, then you could say, well, I agree with you. Or you say, I hate corporations. I agree with you. I don't like them either because, you know, they're a construct of the government, or the government helps them, you know, entrench themselves, and it's they're working together with these people in this monopoly of power to keep their power over others.
The us versus them mentality keeps people, you know, kind of subdued by the government. So break down those walls, stop that mentality.
Right, and you start that by coming together on something first, by agreeing. 1-855-450-FREE. Then you're not an adversary, you're just somebody who sees a different solution for a similar problem. It's Free Talk Live.
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
Run away with me. No woman be here. I just came to watch my LED.
Life Before the Collapse. Final LP by the Lost Vegas. Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas. On 180 gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Why don't we Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
OpticsPlanet.com is where discerning gun owners and outdoorsmen go to gear up. OpticsPlanet has the best selection of rifle scopes, red dots, night vision, holsters, bags, and tactical gear on the planet. With always low prices, free shipping on most orders, and expert customer service. Go to OpticsPlanet.com/GCN to get a free gift with purchase. That's OpticsPlanet.com/GCN. Or call 800-332-OPTICS. 800-332-6784.
We want to
to know, how do you use WebEx?
When I travel, I use WebEx for face-to-face meetings with clients online. We share documents and presentations, and they know, even though I'm not in the office, I'm always available to them. WebEx is awesome.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WEBEX.com.
What's been the problem with phone companies? High prices and contracts that lock you in for 2 years minimum. Not FreedomTelephones.com. Freedom Telephones are designed around the concept and reality of patriotism, loyalty, and privacy. With FreedomTelephones.com, there are no contracts, no credit checks, and no social security numbers required. That's why our name is FreedomTelephones.com. Finally, residential, mobile, and business telephones and plans that are private and never lock you into a long-term contract. Want a low price? Residential and business plans start at only $14.99, and mobile plans start at just $39.99. Plus, every month you pay your bill, FreedomTelephones.com contributes to your favorite GCN programs. Don't wait. Support the cause and get the highest quality and the lowest prices by calling 1-800-600-5553. That's 800-600-5553. FreedomTelephones.com. Portable. Private. Perfect.
Who is Sam Andy? Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been serving loyal customers worldwide for over 50 years. Why so long? Simple. Sam Andy Foods have perfected the taste and quality of low-moisture foods. Foods that last 15 to 25 years. And that's made us an industry leader among families, sportsmen, outdoorsmen, churches, schools, people living in remote areas, U.S. troops in wartime, and many others. Sam Andy is America's leading supplier of over 100 high-quality, low-moisture products and everything you need to survive in any emergency. Visit SamAndy.com today for your free full-color catalog and free trial subscription to the Survival Times newsletter. That's SamAndy.com. Just like it sounds, SamAndy.com. Or call toll-free 1-888-331-0358. Your one-stop shop for everything your family needs to prepare for any emergency. Sam Andy Foods. Life insurance in a can.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Bring up anything toll free. 1-855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And we invite you to the website, which is not really working too well right now, but hopefully it'll be fixed by the end of the show. You can go to freetalklive.com, and you can see the Shrine of Female Listeners, the dozens of ladies who've taken the time to send in their validated photo or video showing they're listeners of this program. Go to shrine.freetalklive.com to see that. And if you're a lady listener, you can get details on how to become part of the Shrine. Once again, that's shrine.freetalklive.com. Now, have you ever been the victim of an injustice and then decided to do nothing about it because attorneys are too expensive? I can understand. Jurisdictionary.com is the course for people who don't have attorneys, like me. It arms you with the information on how to use the court's rules, and if you don't know those rules, you might as well just be fighting in the dark. It works for plaintiffs or defendants in civil or criminal matters in state or federal courts. It costs less than an hour with any good attorney, and the 4-CD course is so easy, the average 8th grader can learn it in a weekend. Head on over to jurisdictionary.com, download free tools like the free legal flowchart, weekly tips and tactics newsletters, the legal dictionary, and free videos. Then you can buy the course, jurisdictionary.com. Use their pull-down menu, choose Free Talk Live, so they know you heard about it here. Once again, jurisdictionary.com as we go.
I think that would be a good tool for the occupiers going to court in Manhattan.
Oh, absolutely.
Or Mark Stevens' book or any of his podcasts would also be good.
Either of those tools would be great for people because most of them have no idea what they're getting into.
Sure,
when it comes to
sure.
Court. So jurisdictionary.
Yeah, there's a lot of legalese to get through, a lot of procedures that the court uses that you might not be familiar with. So
somebody actually sent me like the short version of Jurisdictionary. I guess they have like a condensed version that somebody sent me in jail, which was really cool. It was very useful. So, we'll continue here. Jason, I know you wanted to cover something about a 53% movement. I want to find out more about that here, but we've got some folks that want to talk to us, and we'll talk to them about whatever they want. So Chris is on the line listening in Oklahoma City. Chris, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yes, sir.
Glad to have you here on the airwaves. And it was interesting listening to your conversation about the lack of traffic lights. I was on a temporary assignment in Australia last year. In fact, this time last year, I was in there just kind of getting my feet wet, getting my bearings. But, of course, they drive on the opposite side of the road. They have a lot of roundabouts, and even on the major thoroughfares. And just to humor myself once, I tracked the odometer 7 miles going down basically within the city without stoplights. It was amazing how smooth the traffic ran. Very little action, but one thing, and a lot of the listeners, you have to understand that you're driving on the opposite road on the opposite side of the car, and if you happen to have a standard transmission, which I did, you're shifting with your left hand, so it literally takes you about 2 weeks to get used to that.
Wow.
Once you get that, it really is. It messes with your head for a while. But I was very, very pleased to see the lack of traffic accidents. They do have a lot of traffic lights there. I mean, traffic cameras, and they're very strict, insurance and all of that, but having that, setting that aside, they really got it down to a science. And
so, were there intersections? Right. Were they all roundabouts?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it was amazing. Through some of the major suburbs northwest. I lived in Sydney for 2.5 months, and due to the heavy rains over there in north New South Wales and in Queensland, I had to come back. Our contract got canceled. I couldn't do any filming. So, but it was really a learning experience, and the people over there are really. It's great. It's fun, and just to add a little humor to the thing, when you go into a grocery store, you come back out, and you're used to getting to the left side of the car to get in. Well, you sit down, and there's no steering wheel there. It's a little embarrassing. But after you get past that, you just kind of like, I'm cool. I'll get out and go back on the other side and get in. And drive away.
Tourist. Thanks, Chris, for the call. Appreciate it, man. 855-450-FREE.
I was actually driving around with someone from Australia this last Porkfest, after Porkfest, and he was having a little trouble, staying in the lane. You know, he kept wanting to drift either way. So yeah, I guess he was going through the same thing that this guy's talking about.
Yeah.
But, I mean, think about how hard it is to write with your left hand if you're right-handed and then go from shifting.
Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah, sure.
When I was in the Air Force, I was stationed in England for 2 years and Japan for 2 years, and they drive on the left-hand side of the road in that country. So after 4 years of that, I came back to America. And I did okay by staying on the right-hand side of the road, except when I would turn, I would automatically go in the left-hand lane and freak out my grandfather.
The roundabouts, I think, are generally a pretty good device. A lot of people, the city...
I think a lot of people are intimidated by them.
Right. So to Keene's credit, there are actually three, at least, well, technically two and a half, kind of.
Right. Central Square doesn't really count as a roundabout.
Yeah, because there's a stoplight there. But there are a couple of roundabouts in Keene, and I think that it has improved the traffic flow at those locations. But as you said, Luther, people are intimidated by them because they're used to traffic lights. And there is a learning curve for these things. And so sometimes you'll see people going the wrong way in the roundabout and, like, all kinds of crazy stuff.
Right, I tapped some woman. I thought she was going to go, actually, and it was sort of my fault. But there was a gap, a wide enough gap where I would have gone, and she started moving but stopped, which I don't understand. Like, and she still had plenty of time to go at that point.
Just got cold feet, or
I guess so. You need to be confident in doing this.
Yeah, you gotta go.
Yeah,
and also the ones they're making here aren't good enough. They're not wide enough for things like tractor trailers, and it makes it professional drivers have a very difficult time getting through these. So
sure. And like sometimes they put them in weird spots. Like there's one in Peterborough, a couple towns over from Keene. As you're coming down a hill, suddenly at the bottom of the hill there's a roundabout, which seems like a terrible place for it.
And it's a really small one as well. Getting through with that, getting through that one on a tractor trailer would be very difficult. So it's like they like the idea of the roundabout, but they don't know quite how to implement them to where it can be, actually handle a decent amount of professional kind of level traffic.
And then roundabouts are just new to a lot of people. They've never experienced them before. So you come across one, you don't know what to do. I can totally understand.
Yeah, well, there were plenty of them down in Florida. In fact, there was one called Confusion Corner where there were two right next to each other in downtown Stewart.
Figure eight?
Yeah, like kind of like a figure eight where like three or four county and state highways intersected at this particular spot.
It's like infinity.
There was only one where I come from in Sarasota. Only one. It was called St. Armand Circle, and I had to go through it every single day when I went to work. It was out on the islands, and the radio station I worked for was out on the island as well. And this was... It was like the ritziest place in town where you could shop. All the stores were very expensive, you know, jewelry stores and fancy restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a huge amount of traffic pretty much always at this place. And it was very slow going to get through the roundabout because everybody's trying to park. And so it wasn't a very effective roundabout. Like, this roundabout was not to move traffic. It was to just allow people to access this shopping area. And it was so dangerous because people are, you know, when it's like a parking lot, essentially, but it's also a roundabout.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, or you may know, in parking lots, it's where a lot of accidents happen.
Right.
Because people are, you know, they get cocky. They figure they're moving slower than normal, so they're safer. When in point of fact, it's a really dangerous place to be because your vision is obscured half the time by other cars, or you're paying attention to the kids in the back seat as opposed to looking at what's going on behind you.
Right. You also have more pedestrians.
Oh, yeah.
Because they occupy the same space in a parking lot as a car does. You know, there's no sidewalk usually in a parking lot.
So now combine a parking lot with a roundabout. And you've essentially got what this, you know, this business area was, where there were all kinds of accidents that would happen. I knew that, you know, given the amount of times that I was driving through this place, at some point I would actually see an accident. Because sometimes, you know, you'd go through and you'd see the remnants of an accident. Somebody was getting cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that eventually I'd see it. And sure enough, I did. Thankfully, I wasn't in it. But it was a terrible idea. So my experiences with roundabouts thus far have not been very good, just because most people don't know how to handle it around here. But given enough time, they would. And, you know, we've been dealing with traffic lights for our whole lives.
Sure, yeah, don't even think about it anymore.
Exactly.
Yep.
So we continue with your thoughts. Wolfgang is on the line in Vegas. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Jason,
you were talking about trying to communicate to communists and lefties. And I
yes,
think
sir.
One really important thing, idea with doing that is realizing that the terms capitalism and socialism are loaded terms. They have contradictory meanings, different meanings to different people. So have you ever heard of the term state capitalism before?
Tell me more about it.
I can guess what it means.
You've never seen it. Has anybody used it before? I've seen it used before.
What's it mean?
In order, it sort of means like fascism, capitalism, but with big...
Crony corporatism.
Yeah, corporatism is the most common way I've heard that defined.
It was in the old, maybe like in the 60s, you'd see that a lot, state capitalism, it was called.
But yeah, it'd be a real bad idea to show up at the Occupy protests in a capitalism T-shirt. That would not go over very well.
Right. So there's state capitalism versus free market capitalism. Likewise... socialism is used as different meanings. For instance, in the 19th century, the anarchists like Benjamin Tucker, they used the word socialism as a good thing, as a free market kind of thing. So they actually talked about free market socialism as opposed to state socialism.
Which is weird because the term socialism kind of inherently, you know, has to do with the state. You know, it's where this...
Not really. Inherently, it just has to do with multiple people.
Well, here's what the definitions are. Socialism is an economic system which the means of production are either state-owned or commonly owned, and capitalism is when the means of production are in private hands.
I see. I had not heard the commonly owned version of socialism. That sounded like communism to
me. Well, there used to be socialist communal towns in like the Ohio country early on in this country's history. Like Joseph A. Warren is an anarchist philosopher who was involved in a lot of those early ones.
Well, he was actually more of an individualist, but you had voluntary socialists.
Yeah, he was an individualist, but he did get involved in these, and he didn't like them. He wanted to move away from them, but he also didn't feel that value was subjective, which I always associated with a sort of socialist sort of thought.
So my point is that there's such a thing as voluntary socialism, or you could even call it market socialism.
And I think that's great.
I don't know.
Actually,
I'm sorry, I'm off the air. You guys are still on, though.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm agnostic as far as how people want to live their lives. I'll leave that up to the individual. And if people want to live in a socialist commune, that's great.
It's voluntary. So there's a difference between voluntary communes and a state-run socialistic.
And that's about where I am, too. But
I see what happened here, guys, by the way. I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt this conversation. Wolfgang, hang on. Hold that thought. We're going to bring you back here because most of this conversation has actually not gone on the air. Our board operator apparently missed the break. So I
over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-Berkey. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Apologies for any confusion there. We had kind of a messed up break. 855-450-FREE, that's the toll-free number. Website's going down, the brakes are screwing up here. It's a one of those nights here on Free Talk Live. But thanks for sticking with us.
Skynet must be taking over.
We will allow you to take control of these airwaves. 1-855-450-FREE. Did you see the latest Terminator movie, the fourth one?
Salvation?
Yeah.
No, I still haven't. Not yet.
What? You weren't a fan of that movie or of the series?
No, I like the series okay. One and two was great.
I thought that three was a lot better than some people said.
Sure. I agree with that. But, you know, two is obviously the best, in my opinion.
Sure.
And then there's also the Sarah Connor Chronicles, which I enjoyed a lot.
Yeah,
I thought that was very good. It was one of those TV series that was canceled too early.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So 855-450-FREE, the number here. You can join us online. You can support the show by becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier for as little as $3 a month. We'll take that $3 in, reinvest it into getting on more great radio stations across the country, bringing more internet listeners on board and exposing new people to the ideas of freedom. So go to amp.freetalklive.com to get signed up. That's amp.freetalklive.com. As we continue here, we're gonna bring Wolfgang back on because something happened with the brake didn't fire at the right time in the last segment. So Wolfgang, some of what we talked about, many of our radio listeners did not hear. So can you briefly recap what you were saying?
Sure. The big point is that most of us have heard of the word socialism used in the context of voluntary socialism, like the utopian experiments in the 1800s. Are pretty well understood to be voluntary, socialistic endeavors, right? Do you agree with that?
You know, I don't know a whole lot about that history, but I certainly have no objection with the idea of voluntary socialism. It's just that most of the time when you hear it advocated, it doesn't appear to be in that particular context.
Right, it doesn't appear to be voluntary. They seem to want to force it on you.
Right, so when you're talking to, like, these commies, be they really very statist, or a lot of them call themselves anarchists and actually anti-statist, and I've talked to a lot of them and have a lot of common ground with them. So why not tell them that you're against state socialism, but you're an advocate of voluntary socialism?
Likewise.
Well, because I'm not. I'm an advocate of their ability to be a voluntary socialist. Yeah. I would say that.
Yeah, I usually say, you know, if you want to go off and start a communal community and be socialist, that's fine. But if you ever want anything from me, you're going to have to trade for it. You're going to have to, you know, sink to the level of capitalists.
My favorite example of a comedy piece on socialism is it's an old Onion article. I know I've mentioned it probably 10 times on this show over the last decade, but it's entitled Marxist Apartment, A Microcosm of Why Marxism Doesn't Work. And it's just brilliant satire from beginning to end about how, you know, communism can fail even on the most small of levels, even when you've got three participants. You know, you've got people stealing each other's cigarettes and not putting the top back on the peanut butter and not cleaning up. And
I had this problem with a roommate in Portland when I lived out in Maine. She said that, you know, I had to pay the cable bill. That was part of the agreement of me moving in. I had to pay. We split the heating bill equally. So I was like, okay, well, can you use it less then? And I got her to, use the heat less. Whereas before, she was just blasting it, not caring. And I wasn't going to pay for that.
Yep.
Well, look, from my point of view, and I'm a hardcore Rothbardian individualist type libertarian, but there's no difference between free market capitalism and free market socialism. If some people want to have some contractual arrangements amongst themselves and say, here's how we're going to commonly own things or not, and, you know, our toothbrushes will keep as individual property, but bathroom will be common.
Well, I mean, there's a difference.
If that breaks down, it's the same way that free market capitalism breaks down when people start robbing each other and violating their agreements.
I see what you're saying there. I mean, there is a difference in the structure of organization, but it's similar.
It's voluntary. They're common in that they're both voluntary. So when we're talking to these
people, still have to honor their agreements either way. That's what you're saying.
Exactly.
I get you there. Thanks, Wolfgang. I appreciate hearing from you. Let's talk to a different Chris. This one driving in New Jersey somewhere. Chris, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey guys.
Hey, what's on your mind?
I was just gonna throw in my two cents on traffic circles. Ian, you sounded like you were a little bit pro traffic circle. And in New Jersey, for as long as there's been highways, we had traffic circles. And over the last 15 years, we've been slowly getting rid of them in towns all over New Jersey. And traffic is significantly better. Circles are known throughout New Jersey to be one of the banes of driving around here. So I don't think it's just about how wide it is or people not getting used to it. Like, they were terrible things to drive through around.
Well, New Jersey is just a terrible place in general. So it doesn't surprise me that everything works worse in New Jersey. And I've driven in New Jersey before, and it is a confusing experience.
Yeah, jug handles. Oh, those are awful.
Yeah.
To your point, when they started getting rid of the traffic circles, it took the local governments, probably about a decade to get rid of them. So in all the places where they were, it's not like they did them quickly, so there was still pain to get rid of them. So
why do you think it's good to not have? Why do you feel it's improved? Are they putting traffic lights in instead? It's four-way intersections?
No, actually, I'm not a big fan of traffic lights or speed limits or anything like that. What they're doing is they're finding more intelligent ways to route traffic, if you can believe that the government's capable of that. There's more like overpasses and bypasses so that traffic that needs to continue straight sort of pops over people who need to turn. They actually did it pretty well, so that traffic in really dense areas moves more quickly. It just took them forever to do it.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I'd always thought about that as a possible option. It seems like an expensive solution, but,
Yeah, and traffic circles are very affordable, I mean, compared to maintaining lights and all that.
Sure.
Right.
Or building huge ramps and, like, some intricate system that eliminates the circle and eliminates lights.
Right. Even here,
when you want to get where you're going and you're in a place that's as congested as New Jersey, traffic circles are painful.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see where you're coming from. It would be interesting to actually see what the marketplace would come up with. I mean, because some of these ideas, maybe, you know, like you say, some of them are going to work in other places, and, you know, maybe the traffic circle is right for a low-populated zone, but not for a high, densely populated zone. And it would be great to have the market make these decisions and come up with innovations that we haven't even imagined yet for these intersections.
That's right.
I want to see more blimps.
Dirigibles might be making a comeback, and I think that's a good thing because
like the Zeppelin.
Yeah, like the Zeppelin. Oh, similar. They're going to start replacing truckers up in like cold areas like the Arctic and stuff. It'll just be so much easier for them to get there. That's sort of where they're starting to come back in.
Now, is there a way to make it less flammable?
Okay, yes. The Hindenburg was coated in powdered aluminum, and a small static electric spark is what lit that thing up.
Oh, God. Oh,
not the helium. Yeah. Not the helium. Eyewitnesses claim that they saw a bright yellow light, or hydrogen, not helium. And hydrogen burns blue. It doesn't burn bright yellow.
I'll tell you, I would take a dirigible to get where I need to go in New Jersey with the traffic around here.
Yeah, I heard that, Chris. I think we should just go steampunk all the way.
Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate hearing from you at 855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-3733. Just like a dirigible with a bunch of gears and steam.
I was mostly kidding about that. I like the aesthetics.
Define steampunk for people.
Steampunk is a speculative science fiction genre and sort of an art aesthetic as well, where imagine if steam power really took off during the Victorian era and we had all the modern technology we have now. It was just all steam powered instead of, you know, moving on to coal and then nuclear and whatever.
Yeah, it's an interesting, it's something interesting to study and to look at. It's more of like an art form than anything else.
Right. And there are festivals and stuff, and
people make outfits and things.
A lot of DIY culture and open source culture and maker culture is involved in it. And I think the Fab Labs kind of fit in with that we talked about earlier. And I think that's a good idea for outreach. There's one coming up right before Porkfest in Nashua, and I want to see if I can organize people to go there.
This is a steampunk convention?
Yep.
Oh. Now, how many people go to these things, steampunk convention?
Well, I went to one in Waltham, Mass., which is right out of Boston, for my birthday this year, and there was a good amount of people. I guess it just depends on where you are and what kind of an event it is.
Would you say the popularity has taken off within the last decade or two? How new is steampunk?
Steampunk, technically Jules Verne is steampunk.
From the 1800s, right?
Yes. But people started picking it up in the 80s, like science fiction writers, and that's mainly where it comes from. So that's sort of the renaissance of steampunk, I guess, is that it was originally just ideas in the Victorian era. So somebody liked that style and sort of just started rewriting Jules Verne type stuff.
What's a good steampunk movie?
Ooh, Sucker Punch had some good steampunk elements. Yeah, a bit of it. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, there are more.
We're coming up here. Hour 3 on the way. 855-453. That's 1-855-450-3733. Bring up anything. Free Talk Live.
The first secret to success is recognizing opportunity. The second is to act on it. But how do you gain the skills to know how and when? AllSuccessClub.com. Meet successful individuals online and in exotic locations around the world. Find out from the rich and famous how they went from rags to riches and learn how to achieve financial independence for yourself. Your path to success begins now at AllSuccessClub.com.
Do you have paternity questions? In the past, paternity tests were usually expensive and results took weeks. Now, Identigene offers a DNA paternity test that is easy, affordable, and confidential. Identigene is fully accredited and is the only DNA paternity test kit trusted by America's pharmacies. The Identigene kit is easy to use and contains everything you need. Answers are available in 2 days. For more information, go to Identigene.com. Look for Identigene at the drugstore. Identigene, test assured.